the one who's going to summarize, so I will not do that. But we have already spoken about demographics. It's where we spoke about millennials. It's also part of demography. I'm a little bit confused because I hear these words and I'm not so much familiar with millennialists and millennials, what it is. But since we have been speaking about millennials, maybe I should speak a little bit about millennialists. That's a good Lutheran. No, don't be afraid, I will not do that. But I visited, in February, I visited India and Kerala. It doesn't belong to Europe anymore, but it once used, was connected to Portugal and later Britain. With the Jewish tradition since 12th century or 13th, beginning of 13th century, with a synagogue, with a part of the city called still the Jewish Quarter. Mm-hmm. And the guy told me there are five Jews living here, the five remaining Jews. One of them, four of them are men, and the fifth one is a woman, but her husband died last year. So there will be no more Jews in the next generation. They didn't have kids. Dying Jewish community, but still with a Jewish tradition, Jewish culture, people knew about it. Names on the street, the Jewish quarter, Jewish street. So things are changing, as we have heard, and in our times, I think things are changing more rapidly. First, three general changes which we can see in Europe and I suppose even in the rest of the world. The number of elderly people is exceeding the number of younger generation. And that is very typical in Europe, where families have, first of all, young people get married or move together later than before. They postpone children, and sometimes it is too late to get children. And families are smaller than before. And this is a quote from the European Union's Research Center. To give some idea of the speed of demographic change, there are 88.6 million children in the EU, in the countries there, in 94. Compared to 68.9 million elderly. 9 years later, the gap between number of children and number of elderly persons had narrowed considerably to 2 million for the EU, with 28 states. And in 2004, it was the first year, first time ever, as many elderly people as children in the EU. And if we continue this situation, there will be a minus of children. Well, that will not happen, of course, but it's changing rapidly over the years. So if we want to win the younger generation, then we have to speed up a bit. The second trend which we see in Europe is, of course, secularization. How typical is that for the Jewish community? We can discuss that. But an example is, of course, from France. Somebody would say that Sweden is the most secular country in Europe, but in France at least this has given some expression or some sense through the laws where presentation of religion publicly is almost forbidden. And there is a law from 2004, later on added some regulations about how religion should be practiced, or actually not be practiced, in schools. Students, pupils, are not allowed to have religious symbols. For example, crosses and Star of David at school, because it's religious exposure. So, and nobody can cite their religious appearance to refuse to obey rules applicable in our schools. It's said in this charter of secularization in the school. So we try to avoid all kind of religious expressions in the society. that belongs to the private sphere and not to the public. That's a tendency in Europe. The third trend, as also Wes mentioned, I suppose, Wes, we had the same topic almost on the first CEO conference together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The third trend is, of course, migration. And migration is many things. It's, of course, all things from refugees coming to tourists. And all things in between. And according to the EU statistics, 4.7 million people immigrated to EU countries in 2015, while about half the number emigrates. This includes also immigration and emigration within the EU countries, but among these 4.7 million immigrants during 2015, there were an estimated 2.4 million citizens of non-member countries coming in to EU.
Mostly from Islamic world?
Mostly from Islamic world, probably, yes. Yeah. But also, you had a statistic from US. Mm-hmm. We will come back to Israel later. But Germany was that country in Europe who received most immigration. 1.5 million new immigrants in 2015. Refugees, of course, a large number of them were refugees. United Kingdom, 631,000. France, 363,000, as examples. But what does immigration or migration mean to us when we think strategically? Think about that. An experience from a Norwegian situation. Many Norwegians, I was asked, are there many Norwegians who do suicide during winter time in Norway? Because it's dark, people become depressed. Well, I don't know about that, but that, what I know is that many Norwegians have bought their houses in Spain, where they live during the winter time. And in Norway, we never see them in churches. But in Spain, we have a Norwegian church located.
Yeah.
And they go there because they meet with other Norwegians. And they go to church, and they're open to the gospel. But when they come back to Norway, they say, no, we have nothing to do with the church. It's different in Spain. We do not like the church, but we like the church in Spain. Even if it's the same liturgy, the same people also, maybe. So that's part of migration. People, when people come out of their regular context, they're also more open to new impulses. That's the experience we can make, not only for the Jews, but for everybody. Yes, anti-Semitism, or attacks on Jewish property or Jewish people, is of course part of our recent history. In France, in Denmark, lately in Sweden, also in Norway, with a population of 1,200 Jews, the synagogue was attacked. And when I go to the synagogue in Oslo, I have to show my passport, I have to go through the security, even if they know me. So that's part of it. And a quote from Associated Press, also published by BBC, says that Jewish migration to Israel from Western Europe has reached an all-time high. The Jewish agency, which acts as a link for Jews around the world, said the exodus resulted from a rise in anti-Semitic attacks in Europe, which resulted in almost 10,000 Western Jews emigrated to Israel in 2014. No, in 2015, excuse me. Which is, I suppose, more than Russian Jews immigrating to Israel. And even from Britain, 800 Jews left Britain to Israel in 2015. So there is a move, and our experience from the Russian, great Russian immigration to Israel is that it's much easier to reach out with the gospel to them before they move. Coming into Israel, they're coming into a different Jewish context. also into a different religious context. And it's a bigger step to confess Jesus for many in Israel than it is in other countries. I don't know your experience, you are from the Russian-speaking areas, but that's at least my experience. And then we go to Berlin together with Cohen, no, not with him, but Berlin, here we come. Is Berlin the new Jerusalem? The Economist asked and referred to a Facebook page launched in Hebrew in 2014, October. And in 1 week, had 600,000 visitors. And the Facebook site was called Olim Le Berlin. Let's ascend to Berlin. Let's go to Berlin. It's no longer Olim to Jerusalem or to Eretz Israel, it's Olim to Berlin. And since 2014 until today, 20,000 Israelis have moved and settled in Berlin. Bought their properties. Am I right, Martin?
I'm not quite sure about the
number. That's what I have read.
10,000 at least.
Yes. I think it's more, but according to the Jewish Data Bank, for example, about just an example of one of them. Why do they go to Germany? Well, here's the answer from one of them. Young Jews see bright future in Berlin, even if past weighs heavily in Israel. Cheap rents, creative culture, tolerance, attractive city. One of them, in Gnocchi, sounds like Russian name, or I'm not sure. He had a talk with his grandma, who had grown up in Germany during the war and escaped. And when she heard that he should go to Berlin, she was very disappointed. But she had to accept it. But she gave him a gift before he left, a gun. You have to protect yourself. So, but Evid Gane, he went and said he opened a cafe, a record store in exceedingly hip Berlin or in the neighborhood. And says, but I'm interested in the present, not in the future. It's the time now and the future, not in the past. It's the time now and the future that comes. Germany is now one of the most socially accepting countries in the world. And we know there is a debate in Germany about this, of course, when it comes to the migration and immigration. But that was his experience this time. And there are times where we have opportunities. We don't know if this will be the same situation in 1 year or 2 years, but now they are coming. They are settling in a new environment. They are open to new ideas. This is the city, attractive, tolerant, open. Well, open for what? Also open for the gospel. More to the demographic. You have already pointed out Wes, so I don't need to go into details here. But what we can see is that before the Second World War, 57% of the Jewish population were living in Europe. Now it's 10%. I think you have the same number. The Pew Research Center, I suppose they also have numbers from Jewish Data Bank. This is Pew Research Center, primarily researching the religious situation. Of course, there was a big drop in the Jewish population during the Second World War, 6 million Jews. Especially in the eastern part of Europe, but also in other countries. So you can see that, I don't know if you can see it on the graph here, but at least from 1939 to 1945, the decrease in Eastern Europe was from 4.7 million to 860,000. Because that was where the biggest part of the Jewish population was settled, in the so-called Pale Area, in the well, the western part of the Russian Empire, close to the border of present Western Europe, or Europe. And that was also where the mission organization were. Mm-hmm. Right. We were there whether we choose there. So it tells us also that it's important we are where the Jews are, not everywhere else. In Western Europe, it's differently. There has also been immigration of Jews, also in France. And during the last years, also especially in Germany, when all countries were closed, Germany were open to Jewish migration, immigration from Russia. When the borders in the east opened up, which means that the population increased from just a few number of thousands to almost and even more than 200,000 Jews in Germany. But again, take the figures for what they are. It's difficult to be exact here. I have the same resources as Wes has from Jewish Data Bank and from Hebrew University. Also reflected in an American Jewish yearbook. I have the numbers from 2015, so I'm not so updated as you, Wes, but here we can see also the number of Jews compared to the number of the population, which means that 7.3%, no, not percent, but of thousand, not percent, what do you call it? One of thousand, 7.3 of thousand of the population in France are Jewish. But this is decreasing. So that is the country in Europe with the highest number of Jews, also compared to the population, but with very little Jewish mission or evangelism. How many of us are working in France? CWI? Some of you are. But maybe it's because the evangelical church in France is very small. It's primarily Catholic country. There's a huge Muslim population. It's difficult to do mission there. It's easier at other places. So let's go there where we can have results. Is that what we are thinking? I pointed out this before, and we should have done more reaching out to France, and especially in this situation when the Jews are attacked and are on move to Israel or to somewhere else. We have been speaking about unity through diversity when it comes to the Israeli-Palestinian or Jewish-Arab conflict. But we can also speak about unity and diversity when it comes to the Jewish community. Because I think that speaking about Jewish evangelism, we also have to analyze, and you did it also, Wes, who are the Jews we are targeting or trying to reach out to. For example, France, where we have the largest Jewish community, it's a mixture of Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews. There are Sephardic Jews, especially in the south, in Lyon, Marseille, coming from North Africa. And there are Ashkenazi Jews in Paris and Strasbourg, great Jewish communities, which are with a different tradition. And I remember that Jean-Paul Pomp, who we know, had a talk or a paper on this once in France on the LCGE conference, stating that it was much easier to communicate with the Sephardic population in the south. They were more open. They were you were more welcome in their homes. The Ashkenazi Jews were more closed. But he said at the same time, this is changing. Because the Sephardic Jews, they are becoming more religious. I don't know but very much about it, but we have to use the time when we have access. You know, there's also religious plurality in the Jewish community, from those who are very rabbinical, those who are more open to experience. We have the liberal, the orthodox, the conservative, you know, all these ranges or categories we place them in. And we have, of course, also in Europe, the strong influence of the Chabad movement. And Jewish mission. 2 minutes, okay, soon finish. The influence of Chabad. Even in Oslo, with 1,200 Jews, they have sent a Chabad rabbi to establish a synagogue. It's very contradictory within the Jewish community. We have the question of assimilation. I came recently from Hungary, one of the most assimilated countries of Jews, where some of my co-workers say that Chabad is very hostile to us, but the other part of the Jewish community are open to us, to receive us, cooperate. Simone and Andrea have even rented an apartment by the president of the synagogue, having an Asiatic group gathering there every Shabbat. And they're welcome, and he knows what it is about. Jewish influence and exposure in society, it has been a very low profile in many societies among the Jews, because they are afraid. Today we can see in some countries they are standing up. And we can also come to the Jewish believers in Jesus and their relations to the society and the churches. Okay, strategy, that is just a point I want to mention to you, because my time is running out according to Bess. What should be our strategy? That's not a very radical statement. I believe that we still should send missionaries. Long term, short term teams, whatever. And just a quote, which I believe is from Ralph Winter: a mission who stops sending missionaries and only send money will soon stop being a missionary. Missionaries, sending people, is part of our identity as a church and as a mission. We have to identify target groups, and how we want to reach them, whether they are millennials, Orthodox Jews, secular Jews, or whatever they are. We have to be creative and attractive in our evangelism. We have to communicate in a way that we can communicate and be understood, whether it's through tables, what are you for? Or it's different ways of doing evangelism. And it's interesting to hear the experience of Jews with Jesus, that the previous methods doesn't function anymore as well as it did. Or as Amy quoted her father, we have to keep the gospel the same, the message, but changing methods. Personal involvement and investment in people's life is crucial. And building interaction, building relationship and friendship, according to my opinion. Which means that we have to show that the gospel is not only convincing people to change religion. We don't mean changing religion. So when you met the rabbi in New York, your answer should be, let us stay together, let us talk together, let us interact. Showing Christian love. Being together with you. I have had the same experience as you, so I know how it is. It's not easy. But that's the way we can do it. And the rabbi also told me, I like your mission. Except for the mission. Well, there was something in it. Identifying, cooperating with Jewish believers, also in the churches. What is the Messianic movement? Is it exclusive for those Jews who belong to a Messianic congregation? Or do we include Jewish believers in Jesus, which are the biggest part of Jewish believers in Jesus, who belong to churches? Mm-hmm. Using social media, sharing testimony, and pray. Mm-hmm. Pray. Mm-hmm. Pray. I visited, that's the last word, I visited 2.5 years ago, Feinberg Center in Brooklyn, Mitch. You gave me the address and everything. You prepared it well. And I saw all your missionaries there.
Were they working?
Oh, yeah. They had a conference. But they had to rent the house next to Feinberg Center. I wish we could see it as well. I hope this will be the next conference.
Amen. Amen. 770.
It took a while. 2010. It took a while to get the women to grow the beards.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Ralph. You can ask Lori. She's got
them. Awesome.
Okay, I think I got it. Got it.
It was joking.
Here's what this word is.
What did you say?
A PowerPoint.
Write something.